In this series, Revelation, Not the End Times, get a deeper revelation of who God is through the prayers that He gives us in the Bible.
Welcome back to our series we're entitling Revelation, Not the End Time. Interesting, we're talking about all the kinds of things that happen. And if you look at the last book of the Bible, it is not about end times. It's about a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so I am titling this Revelation. And when the first session, what I talked about was the fact that our prayers in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, which we will discuss later, but Ephesians 1, God will give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And so I just encourage you to go back over that. The Holy Spirit is given to each and every one of us so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. I need to say, we don't earn His acceptance. We don't do something to get Him to love us and please us. The reality is that, no, it's a gift. You have to receive. People will say, well, I don't know if I'm worthy for that. Hey, you're probably not. Don't worry about it. He qualifies us. He chooses us. We don't make ourselves qualified. So it's the Spirit. He wants to answer these prayers. He wants to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He is the Spirit of the living God. And He wants to, and He lives in us. And like I said in the last session, it's to our advantage. It's our advantage. He didn't do this. He didn't need that. We did. He did it for us. He comes and lives in us. So I'll say, like I finished the last session, take off all the restrictions. Take off all the reservations. Take off all this, well, I don't know, I'm not sure, all that stuff, and fully, completely embrace Him or allow Him to fully embrace you. Receive Him and let Him work in your life. Now, I want to go back here to the prayer in Ephesians, because as I said in the very first session, I personally believe that God put the prayer in the Bible because He knows that if He wants us to pray this prayer. There's some other prayers too, but these prayers are designed because God knows exactly what we need, and what we need is a greater revelation of who He is. And we're going to talk about the various aspects of this prayer in each session that follows up here. But in this particular session, I want to talk about the fact that when He tells us to pray, He tells us to pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Now, all prayers are addressed to Father. In John, in fact, let's just turn there. In John chapter 16, and this is, I'm making a point here because we're told to pray. John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. It says, and in that day, what day is He talking about? Well, this is the day after He's gone to the cross, and that's the day that we live in when the Holy Spirit has been poured out. You will ask Me nothing. So what He's telling His disciples, say, guys, you're not going to ask Me anything. Most assuredly, I say to you that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Verse 26 says, in that day you will ask the Father My name. I do not say that I shall pray to the Father for you, for the Father Himself loves you because you love me. Isn't that amazing? So clearly, when we pray, we're praying to Father. Now, I'm making a point here, Matthew chapter 6, and I'll bring it to a close here pretty quickly. Matthew chapter 6, likewise, in the same is in Luke, they said, teach us to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the reason I'm making a point out of this, when I go back to Ephesians, it says we're praying for God to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, praying to Father that He would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So My point is this. If we're going to pray a prayer, and we all should pray, our prayers are directed to Father. Jesus made it very clear. Don't pray to me. I'm going to the Father, but don't pray to me. Pray to Father. Because as you love me, He loves you because you love me. So He says, ask the Father in my name. Again, the only way we can come to the Father is through the Son. There is no other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father. It says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy in time of need. Well, the only way I can come boldly to the throne of grace is through Jesus. It's through the shed blood. I can't go there because I'm worthy. It's nothing about me. It's because of what Jesus has done. Which means that it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what's gone on in your life. It doesn't matter what happened to your life. It doesn't matter what someone's done to you. All of those things are in this realm. But when I come to the Father, I come through Jesus, who has not only forgiven me, but has cleansed me. He has forgiven me, and He has cleansed me. He has made me whole. And so I don't have to come and say, oh my gosh, I'm so wounded. No, I come because of Jesus and what He's done. In the name of Jesus, I petition the Father. And He wants me to do that. Now, the reason I'm making a big deal out of this is because how do you see Father God? Because how you see Father God will determine your prayer life. Not only will it determine your prayer life, I'm going to tell you, it's going to determine your life. It's going to determine nearly everything in you. Now, I'm not saying you can't receive Jesus. Who would not refuse an offer of eternal life and salvation out of here? I don't know if anybody in their right mind would refuse Jesus. But now we're talking about growing in relationship with Him. And the first step of that is having the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, of knowing Father, because our prayers are addressed to Father. So Father God. So again, my position is that this determines how we live, determines how we pray. I may be born again, but if I'm supposed to pray to Father, if I've got a poor father image, I'm going to have a hard time really praying. If I don't see Him the way He really is, then I'm going to have a problem. Now, we've talked about this before, how we project our earthly father's image onto our heavenly Father. But what I want to do, I want to go to a passage of Scripture, one of my favorite passages of Scriptures, and that's in Exodus 33. And I love this passage because this is Moses, and he's talking to God. And we know the story of Moses, that Moses was, God had used him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he was special from the standpoint that God would meet with him. He appeared to him in a burning bush on the mountain. Moses saw the signs and wonders that he did in Egypt. He saw the Red Sea parted. He saw all the children of Israel go across and the Egyptians annihilated completely. He saw water come from a rock. He had the Ten Commandments that God had given to him on the mountain. I mean, this is Moses. I mean, Moses had unbelievable, had been in the presence of God and really was just a unique person. And I want to begin reading in verse 18 of chapter 33. And now this is Moses speaking. He says, "Please show me your glory." Now, I love that. Here's Moses, who's seen more things than we can possibly imagine, and he still wants more. And actually, if there's one thing that we could impart, if there's one thing that all of us could have, is a hunger and a thirst to know Him more. Not just to be satisfied with just a little bit, a little touch here, a little bit of revelation there. No, we hunger and thirst. Moses, I want to tell you something. He had seen His glory. And he's saying here, "Show me your glory." And then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." So what he's saying there, he's saying His glory is his goodness. His goodness. Why? Because it's God's nature. You know, the Bible says that God is love. God doesn't just love. God is love. He isn't just good. His very nature is good. It's not that he is good sometimes and he is favoring sometimes. No, that's his nature. So Moses said, I want to see your glory. I don't know what Moses was thinking about. You know, when I think of the glory, I think of the expanse of all that I could possibly envision. I don't know what he was thinking of. He'd seen a lot of good things and seen a lot of mighty things. He'd seen things that man had never seen before. Whatever it was, God says, okay, I'll grant you that. I'll let my goodness pass before you. What he's saying is his goodness is greater and more majestic than even what he was envisioning to be the glory of God. That's what God's trying to get into us. He's trying to get across to us how good he is. He's not sort of good. He is good. And he said to him, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Verse 21, the Lord said, here is a place by me. You shall stand on the rock. So it shall be that while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. Do you realize that that's the position that we're in today? We're in the rock. We're in Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. So we have the same ability to see what? His glory? Well, his goodness. It's his goodness. It's his goodness that he wants to reveal to us, because when I see Father and I understand that he is good, he is love, but he's good. He is not just sometimes good. He is good. I will embrace him totally. And that's really what he wants to do. He said, I showed you how much I love you. I went to the cross and died for you. I sent you my only begotten Son. I've given everything. I'm not withheld anything. And he wants us to fully, completely embrace him, our Father who art in heaven, our Father who loves us so much, he gave his only begotten Son. The greatest gift he could give, he gave. That our Father who didn't withhold anything, and he says, if I didn't withhold my only Son, then how in the world would I give you everything? I'm not going to withhold anything from you when I've already given you the greatest thing I've got. That's what he's trying to get across to us, is that he is a good father. Regardless of what kind of father you've had, whether you even had a father. Maybe you had an abusive father. Maybe you had a good father. But he's still not our Father God. He loves us. Now, I want to continue in chapter 34 of Exodus, and I'm just going to skip over to verse 6. In verse 5, let me say, now the Lord descended in a cloud, and he stood with him there. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth, and he worshiped God. Now, I'm just going to walk through some of these words, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time doing so, but it's so important to realize he reveals himself. So when we're talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, then yes, we want the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us of who Father is, but he's actually revealed himself in Scripture. He's told us a number of places and a number of times who he is. Remember, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when he's dealing with the woman at the well, and we see the dialogue between Jesus and the woman, you realize that's the Father. Do you want the woman with the had been caught in adultery, the dialogue with her and their accusers, that's the Father. You understand the prodigal son, that's the Father talking to the sons. If you've seen Jesus, he says, you've seen me, because I'm an exact representation of Father. So what Father did was he put on flesh so we could see him. When he says in the Old Testament, you can't see me and live. So he literally put on flesh and dwelt among us so we could behold him. So when he reveals himself to us, we need to recognize that this, yes, this is who he is. So he says, the Lord God. He's basically makes that point twice. He wants you to understand he is Jehovah. He is the self-existent one. There is no other one like him. He is merciful. Is that amazing? Starts right off. No, he's not judgmental. No, he is not going to get you because you did something wrong. He's merciful. Why? Because he understands who we are. He understands our lot. He's not making excuse for us. He's full of mercy. He understands the condition that we're in. He understands what's going on in your life. He is merciful. He is gracious. Isn't that amazing? He is kind. He is just amazing. He's long-suffering. He's patient. Then we think, oh my gosh, I did something. God's going to get me. No, he's not. He's not angry with you. He took out his wrath on Jesus on the cross. Jesus took the punishment that we deserved. He took it on the cross. Jesus took the pain that we were supposed to be inflicted with. He took it. He took our sin. He took and died our death. Wow. That's our God. That's our Father who loved us so much that the beating, the punishment, everything that we deserved, he put on Jesus at the cross. Mm. He's abounding in goodness and truth. Isn't that amazing? So goodness and truth. I mean, this is, when you look at these words, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's patient, he's abounding in goodness. The word is one of the words that means the loving kindness of God. He abounds in the loving kindness of God. It can be translated mercy, but the truth of the matter is, it's an abounding that he it's not just a little bit. It's just an abounding. There's no end to it of his mercy, of his loving kindness, of his grace, of all the things that he has for us. He's not holding any of that back, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So he's forgiven us completely. Now what he's saying here is that, yeah, there's consequences to your action. And there's consequences, and it affects just not just you, but your family and your family's family. But don't focus on that. Focus on the first part. So when we go back to Ephesians, and when you go back to Ephesians 1 and you realize that the prayer is for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, what's he saying? He's saying you need to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in a Father who loves you and has given his very best for your life. A Father who's not like your earthly father, but a Father who abounds in goodness and grace and mercy, is patient, is kind. That's our Father. And he wants us to not just know about him, but he wants us to know him. He doesn't want to wait for us to get to heaven. He's saying, no, you can know him now. And so this prayer, I cannot tell you how important this is, to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that we might know him, that we might really know him, that when we say, pray to the Father, don't pray to me, pray to the Father. If you love me, he loves you. And so Jesus is obviously the door to everything. He is the way. But once you're a child of God, that's why this prayer is so important. But it begins with the spirit of wisdom and revelation giving you knowledge of Father. So what God is wanting to do, that's why the first session I talked about, take off all the restrictions off the Holy Spirit. Embrace him completely, because it's the Holy Spirit that is the revealer. He is the one that's going to make things real to us. And the first thing that he wants to make real to us is who Father really is. He's our Father. He's a loving, heavenly Father that knows our condition, that loves us in spite of ourselves. He doesn't make excuses for us, but he loves me. He loves you. He wants you to know him and not just to know about him. He's not looking for churchgoers. He's not looking for people to try to adhere to a certain standard of rules and regulation. No, he wants you to say, come and jump in his lap. He wants to embrace you. He wants you to know him. He wants to change our lives so that we are so completely overwhelmed by his amazing love. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to know him. So I want to pray for us. I'm going to pray that God will give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that he would help us to fully embrace him and really heal all the hurts and all the wounds and all the father issues. Listen, he is not our earthly father. He is our heavenly father. And he's already proven his love for each and every one of us. Let's pray. Father, we love you and bless you, and we thank you that, Lord, you reveal yourself to us. But we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you even take it to a whole nother level. And we're asking, Father, that you give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. That, Lord, we don't want to just know more facts. We want to know you. We don't want to just know about you. We want to experience you. And we don't want to just have a church meeting experience. We want to have a 24-hour-a-day experience of living in relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that you'd heal the hurts and the wounds of where fathers have hurt and done damage. I pray, Lord, that where people have been abandoned or people have been abused, that, Lord, wherever the case is, I pray you'd heal the father wounds. But, Lord, I pray in addition to that, you said you heal the brokenhearted, but, Lord, you'd give us a revelation of who you are, a revelation of your goodness, a revelation of your mercy, a revelation of your just amazing love. Lord, we want to see your goodness. You're good, and your mercy endures forever. Throughout the Old Testament, that's repeated over and over and over and over again. Why? Because you're good, and your mercy endures forever. Now, I just encourage you, invite the Holy Spirit to reveal the amazing love of our Heavenly Father, who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to live and to be given to us so that we might have life. Lord, heal the hurts so we can fully embrace you. And I'm asking, Lord, that as we have prayed and we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to reveal this truth, help us to let go of all the restrictions, all the reservations, all the what ifs, and I don't know, I'm not sure, and fully, completely embrace you as our Father. Our Father. Our Father. And just say that. Say, our Father. Our Father. Father. Say, Father. Forgive me for whatever we've blamed you for. But Father, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love and given to us everything, everything. We are so blessed. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We thank you. Now, I just want to encourage everyone here to continue to pray to Father and ask the Holy Spirit to give you continued ongoing revelation of the Father. We are so blessed. He has given to us everything. There is nothing that we lack. And I am confident that if we'll pray this prayer and we will believe, the Holy Spirit will do a work in our lives that when we, it won't be long, but down the road we'll begin to look back and go, oh my goodness, he is answering this prayer in my life. I'm getting a greater revelation of who I am and a greater revelation of who he is in me. So I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. I encourage you to continue as we continue to look at this prayer in Ephesians. I encourage you to pray these prayers and ask the Holy Spirit to really make them real to each and every one of you in your life. God bless you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being a part of this. I just encourage you, continue watching the series on Revelation. God bless you, and thank you for being with us.